Ravens defense without Terrell Suggs? How does it change? How much different is it?
Yeah, anytime you lose a perennial Pro Bowl player like that, an impact player like that, it's going to have some effect. But still, they're just they play well as a unit. That you know, even though they don't have them, they're still, you know, with, you know, Upshaw, Doomerville, very very capable on the edges. I mean, that, like I said, that front seven, as I said the other day, you know, that's as stout a front seven as we'll go against.
What did you think of the effort on that one throw to him?
Are we going back to the San Diego game?
Yes.
No, this is Thursday of a game week, so if you weren't here, you weren't here.
Okay, but is he still in the same, do you still view him the same way that you did?
Yeah, he's just got a key. I mean, that's as with all of our guys, that we're not, I mean, that when you're playing a position, especially where we have the competition that we have and the depth that we have, you know, he's got to be out there working, showing us that he's you know, perfecting his craft. He knows what to do, how to line up, what routes to run. And, you know, it's been well documented that he fell behind because of the time that he missed. And he's working to get back. And as I've said, it's a long season. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's you know, Joe practiced yesterday. He's going to go again today. We'll see where he is. It's great to see Kaywan back out there. I think Kaywan was very much under the radar as far as a guy that was playing at a high level when he was out there a year ago, played real good football for us, and maybe had one of his best games as a Brown against Tennessee. So it's good to have him out there to not have to kind of jumble the rest of the lineup. But that group, we've talked about a lot, and they'll be the first ones to tell you that they need, for us to be successful, that they need to raise their level of play.
You and Jim and even Joe Hayden yesterday were talking about too many big plays defensively. Is there a common denominator here?
No, because if it were an easy fix, we would have made it. It's if you, when you look at, and I've said this before, when we go back through and look at the big plays, is it scheme, is it technique, is it personnel? And you build that database, and if it's scheme, you're correct, and if it's technique, you're practicing, and if it's personnel, you shuffle the lineup if you have to, if you can. If not, you find a way to protect that player a little bit when you can. So it's constantly, you know, that list is constantly growing, evolving, and we're very diligent with it, but it comes down to a lot of little things. Sometimes it's focus. We have guys that play well for 70 snaps in a game and make one or two mistakes, and unfortunately, those are the ones that are costing us.
Is it fair to say that on those three things, it's pretty spread out?
It is spread out. Yes. It's a little early to tell, but he had a good day yesterday. Most of his reps were on the scout team. I think he'll tell you that he's not there yet, but he's close. I think some of it will depend on today. Yesterday was his first real day of playing real football. So he came in today a little sore, as expected, and we'll see how he responds after another. You know, we'll bump up his workload some today. But the reps that he took, he looked good. Making progress that he comes out and works. I think he's you know, it's good for him to get a lot of the practice reps when we, especially the days that we rest Joe, and then we do a good job of rotating those lineups even with the ones during practice, so other guys are getting work. You know, Austin Pastore and Cam, but he's. No, he's progressing, and he's going to be a big part of what we're doing here. But it's, as I've said before, it's going to, that that group, especially these past couple weeks, has played. You know, they're playing at it, especially in pass pro, are playing at a pretty high level. But it's a tough lineup to crack. You know, we've got them out there some in jumbo tight end, but not much beyond that.
The interception, the way Gilbert moves when he has the ball in his hand, does any part of you at all think try him on a trick play or something offensively because of how dynamic he is when he runs with the football?
Yeah, that's he's shown that certainly with the kickoff returns the other day. Sometimes with the numbers and injuries, we've had to throw him on offense at wide receiver and doesn't look out of place. But just given the depth we have at that position now, and then you add Duke, who has wide-out type ability. You have Hausler, who has wide-out type ability in certain situations. That's hard to justify it. But he's certainly shown the ability, as you say, when he's got the ball in his hand, he can do something with it.
And Mike, yesterday, Kayvon talked about, you know, he understands the risk in going out there, and I know you've got to coach him up. But is there a compassionate side of you that kind of worries about a kid like that?
Absolutely. And that's why I think the league is very sensitive to it and the teams are very sensitive to it, that if a guy in my history around it, if a guy is showing, I mean, any symptoms, if there's 10 markers and only one of them shows a potential positive, then they're going to shut guys down and make sure, you know, I think the protocol is also thorough enough, and that's why you rarely see a guy coming back in a week. That I think it's usually the 2 to even sometimes 3 week range with it. I think it's a positive step in our sport, and certainly that's something you're always mindful of, especially in something that's as critical as a concussion. Yeah, I mean he always has a smile on his face. I mean, you've spent enough time around him. I mean, he loves to play, loves being around his teammates. Very well respected for what he's overcome to get into the NFL. He's essentially a tryout guy, who it was never big for him. Once he stepped on the field, he didn't care who he was covering, and that he went out and worked and did his job. Had a great offseason too. I mean, he was viewed to. You're talking the spring, you know, who were your MVPs in the spring as far as guys that took the break and came back in great shape and really progressed and heading into year two, he'd be right near the top of the list.
Can a guy like that play a different way? Because Joe was saying yesterday he almost plays like a reckless type of game, which, you know, fans and I think coaches love too. But can he play a little bit different and be successful?
I think to some extent, but so much of it's instinct that's hard to consciously, because it slows you down. And if you look at, I mean, I don't know the exact play from the game where it occurred, but I just going back, we're watching last year's Baltimore game, and I think he fell and hit his head on the turf, which I don't know if that was, you know, that's avoidable. I could see if it was something in tackling where he dropped his head a lot or was very reckless that way and was kind of hitting bigger than his body, then that would have a little bit more merit. But I don't know if I can say that at this point.
Mike, this is just one guy's opinion, but the substance behind the guy is that he works on the Browns AM radio flagship, and he used to play in the NFL throughout Cherry. He's made a little bit of a crusade saying the Browns play as if they don't want to recover. What would your response to that be relative to the fact that it's coming from a guy who's seen it before?
Not an easy statement to take, just because when you're in with these guys every day and you see how they prepare, you see how much they put into it, you see how much losing upsets them when you're in that locker room after a loss and you look into all their faces. It's not guys that are just, okay, you know, not a big deal. You know, these guys are upset. They're competitive, love to win, hate to lose. And we feel we've built the locker room that way, so that's I don't see that. I don't think the staff sees it. I think the players would disagree, but you know, I'm not going to get into, you know, trying to combat, you know, somebody's observations on the outside.
Do you feel inside the division that the toughness gets tested both mentally and physically, and specifically against Baltimore when you have to face them?
for sure. And that's why I love our division games. I mean, I just think that that's three great rivalries just for what I talked about the other day, Battle of Ohio, Pittsburgh, the Ravens due to history. I mean, and I just – that's – it's just a different feel. And I know, every game – has its own storyline, but to me, the division games are truly set apart from all the other ones, and that's why we try to educate the players on it. I know the veteran guys sense it, and just the mentality of that of their franchise. And I was there, spent the first 7 years of my NFL career there. I've been there. I know the mentality. You see it from Pittsburgh. It's there in Cincinnati. I mean, that's why I think just from top to bottom, the competitiveness of our division, I'd put it up against any other one in the league.
You have to play with a different edge when you face those guys?
Yeah, I said yesterday. I mean, the double chin strap game. Like, you got to make sure because if you don't, you get embarrassed. And you look at our last year against Cincinnati, where we had it the first game and didn't the second, and you saw the result. But, I think – hopefully it shows up on the field, but our guys sense it.
What have you seen Orchard and Cooper these last couple years?
The fact that they're both playing and they're handling the mental stuff well, that there's not a lot of mental errors. Nate, I think, is he's getting better each week. We just want him to cut it loose a little bit more. That sometimes when a guy gets out there, he gets afraid to make a mistake, and that slows him down a little bit, almost where they're thinking too much. Whereas, hey, pick your aiming point and go. But that's just, I think, part of the learning curve. I've coached young outside backers before and have gone through that. So we're pleased with where Nate is and the direction that he's headed. And Coop's done some good things for us. Coop's had the sack the other day. But just some rookie stuff, some subtle things in his alignments he has to get cleaned up. But he does a good job rolling off the ball, like any young D lineman, Danny included. He's got to work on his pad level a little bit. Sometimes guys have the tendency to, once they get the stalemate, to put the periscope up and try to find the ball, and that's when they find themselves losing ground, whereas we got to get knocked back first. But I think both those guys are we're pleased with where they are, and it's about where we thought they would be.
Particularly bad week for kickers around the league, not yours, but you got a take on why numbers are down, not only in PATs but field goals.
I don't. I don't know if people have missed many kicks against us, and I know our guy hasn't missed any. So it's hard outside of our world to see it. I mean, the extra point makes sense just because it's back, and it maybe as the weather gets worse that those numbers will go up even more, and I'll be curious to see the effect that has around the league as far as coaches finally saying, hey, let's ramp up the number of conversions. You'll follow up.
Coons hasn't been tested in a game deciding situation, just hasn't had the opportunity. Does he have to obviously have to prove that to you, or do you feel more confident in after four games that he's up to this?
I think he's been a pleasant surprise. He's I think all kicks are have some degree of pressure with them. I mean, if they're at the end of the game, they certainly would carry more, but there's no reason to think that he can't handle it. He's endured a kicking competition with a guy where it was almost on every kick from the spring, guy right next to him. He knew that a bad day could be shown the door. So I think he's exhibited the mental toughness, but you'll never know until it happens. So we're hopeful that when that situation comes for him to kick the game winner, he'll calmly trot out there and bang it through.
Mike, yesterday, Tremont Williams said that you guys got word from the league that he wasn't offside on the field goal upon further review. The league says it never said that, so it's obviously it's confusing for everyone, and I don't know if something got lost in translation or whatever, but my question is, did you guys get word from the league that Tremont?
Yeah, it's our policy. I'm not going to comment on the officiating reviews. Just in a general statement on that, and I've said this before, I think Dean Blandino and his crew in New York do an excellent job of – they are very candid when mistakes are made. And I'm not saying that's the case here, but just in general, when mistakes are made, that they're very open about it, and that crew in New York is working hard to get the officiating right, and we're very appreciative of it. So I don't get into the details of the report for obvious reasons, but I think also if you just even took the TV copy of that play or had access to the All 22 and just watched it in slow motion, I mean that is such a difficult thing to officiate, and then imagine putting yourself on the line in front of it and trying to gauge, you know, if somebody moves exactly and nobody else moves, what it looks like. So, you know, that's behind us. I've had good communication with the league about it, and I feel good about their stance on it, and I feel good about where we are with it, and we're on to the next one.
Theoretically, was it Belichick maybe last year was trying to push for this, getting everything reviewed? I don't know if it was in the final 2 minutes or just everything reviewed.
It was everything.
Where do you fall on that?
We had healthy debate on that down at the owners' meetings, and that was one of the things that was one of the proposals that was brought up. And I think you can look at both sides of it. I don't know exactly how it would be structured, but there's just that talk of opening it all up. But I think it's difficult when you start to get into challenging plays that are subjective. It's a tough thing because you certainly can. I've heard the arguments on both sides, and I think there's certainly some plays where you let's apply that rule, and other ones where you wouldn't want to, whether it's slowing the game down or like I said, I'm just not sure of the logistics of it, how it would play out.
In the moment, did you think it was offside?
In the moment, yeah, I did.
How would that review thing ever work if you don't have the same number of cameras at all the games?
Well, I think that was part of the discussion was getting it, because the one thing that's been pushed for is sideline and goal line cameras at every and I know there's some issues at stadiums as far as logistics again to get it all, everybody making sure that there was the same views available, because that's where the game, a lot of the controversy comes up, on the goal line, on the end line, on the sideline.
I know you said it was close. I mean, if you look at the TV or the All 22 from your film, could you tell?
I mean, it was I mean, if you have the advantage to go frame by frame, it's to me that would be very difficult to officiate, but they don't have the advantage of, you know, he's not holding a remote going frame by frame. It's real time.